flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
City Chiefs are gonna pull this off!
Again, going to a knee.
You can't doubt the Chiefs! You can dislike the Chiefs! You can disrespect the Chiefs! You're gonna have to deal with the Chiefs being the first team in National Football League history to win back-to-back Super Bowls and go to the Super Bowl for a chance for a three-peat! The Kansas City Chiefs have just done something that's never been done! And the Kansas City Chiefs, Chiefs Kingdom Rocket, has gone past Pluto! The Chiefs win the AFC Championship.
Now, back to
Will and Bibby
on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, it's so vomit-inducing. 96.5 The Fan, much respect. What's up, Odyssey?
Great sister station out there.
But so vomit-inducing.
Oh, my God.
You know what hit me the most out of all of it? Like, okay.
The Rocket has gone past Pluto!
Yeah, like, dude's excited, which is fine. Like, he works for the Chiefs, and he's excited. I'm not bothered by that. How many times... How long was that clip, Lucas? How long?
39 seconds.
39 seconds. How many times did he say Chiefs?
How many times did he say, and the Kansas City Chiefs?
That's what I mean.
You can just say Chiefs,
too. Can you play it again so we can do a little counter? How many times did he say Chiefs in 39 seconds? My God.
The Kansas City Chiefs are going to pull this off.
Again, going to a knee.
You can't doubt the Chiefs.
Two.
You can dislike the Chiefs.
Three.
You can disrespect the Chiefs.
Four.
You're going to have to deal with the Chiefs.
Five.
Being the first team in National Football League history to win back-to-back Super Bowls and go to the Super Bowl for a chance for a three-peat. The Kansas City Chiefs
six.
Have just done something that's never been done. And the Kansas City Chiefs, Chiefs
seven.
Kingdom Rocket,
eight.
Has gone past Pluto. The Chiefs win
nine.
The AFC Championship.
9 times.
That's unbelievable.
Bro, that's once every 4 seconds. Chill. I mean, I don't know. Expand your vocab at least.
The best part is where
anyway.
he says exactly what they've done that's never been done before. The first team to ever win back-to-back Super Bowls and then go back to the Super Bowl. They're doing something no one has ever done. You just said that. You don't need to say it again. You just said it in fewer words. You said the same thing back-to-back.
All I heard him say was that you can hate the Chiefs. And I was like, thanks, I will. all right. Before we go back to the phones. Time for Triples for Autism. This will put a smile to your face. This is good, right? Brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. No matter if the Chiefs and the Chiefs and the Chiefs and the Chiefs, whether they win or lose, at least the Warriors and Pettinelli and 95-7 the game can put out the good fight with this. The Warriors made 16 three-pointers Saturday against the Lakers. Another donation from Pettinelli to the Autism Society San Francisco. Brandon Pajemski led the way with three from deep. Steph, Buddy, GP2, Quentin Post, and Schroeder all made two apiece. That is the 22nd donation of the season for Triples for Autism. To make a donation yourself or to get involved, go to sfautismsociety.org. That was Triples for Autism, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Pettinelli is here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to PettinelliFP.com. Okay, Sean in Oakland is next up. No, I'm sorry. Sean, stay right where you are. Jonathan in the city. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, bro. I just want to say, what we're watching here, we've seen in the 90s, it's the Jordan Bulls. They get all the, you know, benefit. They got all the calls. And just much worse is they even manufacture calls to favor the Chiefs. And what are we going to do about it? Nothing. So if you can't beat them, join them. But watch them win by 1 point with a 1.5 spread on Sunday, man.
Well, they're not playing on Sunday, but I get what you're saying, Jonathan.
13 days.
Yeah, thank you very much for the call. If you can't beat them, join them. I'm out on that idea. And I still, my big question, I understand, okay, dynasties, a three-peat, all of that. But I'd argue, like, let's take the Golden State Warriors as an example, okay? Is that the legend of what happened? Is it better or worse, again, not through our view, we're fans of the Warriors, but if you're just NBA fan at large or you're the league, did that legend grow because LeBron and Kyrie got one? They got one, and that ended up leading to KD, and then you get the year where KD and Klay Thompson both have legs go out in the finals. Obviously, there's no conspiracy to make that stuff happen. I'd argue from an NBA view, every good dynasty, no different than Tom Brady, like it built Eli Manning for a fact. Like it's better to not just have him. They need a couple misses. Like the greatest of dynasties, same with the 49ers. You got a fan who just called up, Roger Craig's fumble, and this, that. Like you need a few misses. I don't think the league is invested in the Chiefs must win every year. I don't think that does anything for
them. You mean if there is a conspiracy, you need to hide it a little bit? Is that what you're saying?
No, I would argue this. Like, unless what they're doing, again, if we want to play this game and act like there's a massive conspiracy going on with a chip in the ball, as one of our callers already said, if the whole idea with Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen is almost like what they did with Ross and Rachel in Friends, they keep them apart. And to get back together, just kidding. We're going to keep them apart. And
we were on a break.
Right, and that angst went through almost a decade of television. And so is that what you're suggesting? Because I would argue letting Josh and Lamar have a piece of the pie one time is good. Peyton Manning needed to get through one time so that you could have Peyton and Tom, Peyton and Tom. And Peyton was Tom's little brother, but you had Peyton and Tom. If Peyton is just going to be the Washington Generals, what are we doing here? So that's what I don't think Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson are like these not marketable people who you couldn't get on their wagon a little bit, no?
No, but they're not the Chiefs, and they never will be the Chiefs. And the Chiefs aren't the Chiefs because they're in Kansas City. The Chiefs are the Chiefs because they went to the AFC Championship game in Mahomes' first year, then won the Super Bowl the following year, then went back, and they've been established as the team, and they have consistently been that. Like, you can't just upend the Chiefs and suddenly take their throne, even if you end up beating them once. Like, Burrow did that.
Right, but it creates a new angst. Like, I would argue, let's see if Patrick can get back to the top next year, and maybe he'll lose in 2 weeks. And so maybe that will work. But can Patrick get back on top of the mountain is a better story than let's just have Patrick like foot on everyone's head every year for the rest of our lives.
What do you think, which game do you think was more hyped? The year after the Bengals went into Arrowhead and upset the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl, ultimately to lose to the Rams.
Okay.
The following year, they then played in the playoffs again. So that following year, the conversation was, can Mahomes get one over on Burrow this time? Or is Burrow going to make Arrowhead Burrowhead?
Right.
That was the conversation. Or this game yesterday between the Chiefs and the Bills, where it's, can Josh Allen finally get one?
Because
those are the two sides of the coin. Burrow was on top. Can Mahomes reclaim that spot? Versus, can Josh Allen finally beat this Chiefs team in the postseason? Maybe it's recency bias, but I feel like this Bills one was more hyped.
Okay. So the point then being what? Because now
the Chiefs being this unbeatable, undefeated, they're going for a crazy record is a bigger deal.
But the way you sort of pitched that sounded like the whole idea of Josh, can Josh get over the top? And at a certain point, the answer is going to have to be yes, or we're going to get bored and leave. Like, Lamar and Josh just disappointing every January is going to become tiresome.
Maybe.
At a certain point, I'd argue you want to break through. It's like when Tiger Woods was winning every major, and they're like, hey, Phil, like, are you doing anything? Could you maybe, like, we need an adversary here.
I think that's the better example for these Chiefs. It is Tiger Woods in his prime versus, like, everyone throws back to, you know,
to
Jordan.
Yeah,
to
Jordan.
Tom and,
yep,
and to Jordan. I obviously wasn't around or old enough for a lot of the Jordan stuff, really any of it.
Yep.
I don't know if there was felt like there was a conspiracy that the NBA wanted the Bulls to win every championship. It wasn't that way for the Warriors either. I feel like a lot of people feel like the Warriors were benefited. They benefited from injuries and unfortunate timing of injuries from some other players on other teams, but it wasn't really like a bias from refereeing.
No,
it's different,
I mean,
in the NBA.
And I think basketball has always more had that thing of, like, the stars get the calls. They've always had that thing.
Stars on both teams.
Yes, but there's no star bigger than that one.
Yeah.
The only time I ever really remember it coming up was, like, and I think this was his last championship, with the push-off on Brian Russell of the Utah Jazz.
No call there.
Outside of that, I think people just accepted that Jordan was absolutely the best. And I think people are accepting that right now of Patrick, at least in this time frame.
Yeah.
You know, but just because you're the best doesn't mean you win every championship. Every championship? Like, is that's the big conspiracy that the NFL came up with? The script writers sat around in a boardroom and they're like, here's the deal. What do you think? We're going to have a team from Middle America win every title for the rest of our lives. Like, that's the other thing. I've always, conspiracies are supposed to be about the coasts, New York.
Ah, that's too
LA.
Obvious, Mark. They're gonna catch on to us.
Kansas City. what are we trying to get that TV market? I don't know, man. Anyway, John and Sean and Doug, we come right to you. Plus, we've got open lines. What do you really think is going on, like for real, about these Chiefs and these refs? 888-957-9570. That is the number. We're sponsored by Life Source Water Systems. Grandy is in for Dibs, and it is Willard and Dibs.
New year, fresh start. Why not with better water? Life Source Water gives you clean, filtered water from every tap with no salt and no frequent maintenance. Call 800-WATER-99 or visit lifesourcewater.com today.
Warranty limitations apply.
Hey, what's going on? It is Willard for Underdog Fantasy. And California sports fans, those of you all listening, great news. Underdog is available to play in our state, and it is the best app for your big game party, which is actually going to be on your phone, right? Because that's how we all watch now, and it's called Underdog. Best place to cash in on all your takes during the big game. So start getting ready. Dive into the app. Start looking at the numbers now to see what you want to do. The pick'em game, you can win up to 1,000 times your money just by choosing higher or lower on a player's stats, yards, touchdowns, interceptions, etc. The other thing you can do, get in there leading up to the big game and practice. Practice on NBA players, higher on points, assists, rebounds, whatever it is that you want to do. And with their double flex option, you could even take an L or two and still win. Here's what I'm doing tonight. I'm focused in on that Cavaliers-Pistons game. I'm going Darius Garland, higher than 21.5 points. And Jalen Duren of the Pistons, I've been riding him, higher than 22.5. points plus rebounds. Underdog, the best place to play pick 'em. Download the app. Sign up with the promo code Willard and deposit now to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. The promo code again is Willard. Got to be 18 or over and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
The line judge on the far side, initially his spot was coming in about a foot inside the 40. Then the near sideline came in and said he was short of it. They had two different marks. Let's see what they come with.
After review, the ruling in the field stands as called. The first down in Kansas City.
Wow. I mean, you got to give. I mean, that's so close. It's whatever the call was, I don't think you could overturn it. Wow.
How did you see it, Gene?
I felt like he gained it by about a third of the football, Jim. That was just my take on the play. Tough play.
I agree.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I appreciate Gene Steratore and then Jim Nance with the agreement doing what Tony Romo wouldn't do. So that's the other thing. Broadcasters, stop carrying the league's bag. You're not going to get fired. You're Tony Romo. Oh, boy, that's tough. That's so close. I don't know how you could. No, yeah, you do.
Tough one there, Jim.
Nobody didn't think he crossed the line. Nobody. And the reason no one thought that he didn't cross the line is because he crossed the line. Anyway. The Chiefs are brilliant. The Chiefs are totally brilliant. But the conversation doesn't end there. We all watched all this all year long, so I do not believe a conspiracy is going on, but I don't understand how every Chiefs game can feel this way, and they pretty much all do. They pretty much all do. Like, not only am I not a conspiracy theorist, I'm not, despite how today sounds, I'm not watching games through haterade glasses. I'm not. I'm not. Like, what? Y'all didn't see everything that we all saw? I mean, if I asked you about the Xavier Worthy catch, what'd you see?
Oh, that was an incomplete pass.
Thank you.
No doubt. Yeah.
That's all. How the hell? That's actually the one, if you really want to get mad at review. How do you go into the booth, look at that, where Worthy literally only has one arm on the ball? And it hits the ground, how on earth do you come out of there and say that's a catch?
That's a very good question, and I have no clue.
Can't do it. There you go. Okay, Sean in Oakland. Hi, Sean. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I'm Sean. I'm calling about, I'm a Philly fan, and I've been working in Philly for the last 10 years. I just moved back to the Bay 2 years ago. And I'm a iron worker, but everybody been hating on my Phillies.
And
the Chiefs.
Yeah, Sean. Did you? What's the point?
People still hating. So Shannon Sharp, he'll give you our narratives like, man, this is what it is. He played in the game. He know what's up.
I'm still like, Sean, I'd love to, like, what is it you're like getting at today? Like, okay, you're a Philly fan, people been hating. Yes, that's true. That's sports, that's how we do it. Whoever's at the top kind of gets the ire of the fans of the teams that didn't make it. But what about the matchup? What is it you're trying to say?
The two hated teams is on top this year.
Yes.
And everybody like it.
All right, Sean, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. That was like a Magic Johnson tweet. That's what that was. I'm like,
The Eagles and the Chiefs are playing in the Super Bowl. And a lot of people don't like those teams.
And it appears that there are some people who don't like that. All right.
Send. Thanks, Magic. Back to you.
Back to you. Let's go to Doug in Berkeley. Hi, Doug. What's going on?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good, man.
How you doing today? I hear how you're doing. I have one take that has like a few little moving parts.
Okay.
When I was a teenager watching football, I never understood why there were these calls made by the refs in the last 2 minutes of the half, last 2 minutes of the game, pass interference calls, that the guys are doing this all game. But these calls are made at crucial times that had an outsized effect on the game. I believe that the NFL has always had its finger on the scale a little bit. I think it was 2001. Was it 2001 when the Raiders were clearly the best team in the league? They went into New England, and it was snowing, and there was the tuck rule
sure. That
nobody ever heard of before. And, you know, it wasn't like New England and Brady were favorites at that time. It's that they hated the Raiders. The league hated the Raiders. Now I see these guys, and I know you see it too. These guys are holding on to the face mask, or they're making these holding calls. You know, they're making these holding penalties, and you think, what are you doing that for? That's stupid. I mean, that's just stupid. Because they get away with it most of the time, but sometimes the refs call it. So what you saw yesterday, and you know, it's also entertainment. And, you know, it is a big deal with Kansas City and Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. All of this goes into it, in my opinion. All of this goes into it. And I think we need to, you know, acknowledge that and accept it. I'm not saying, you know, it's a conspiracy, but it's unrealistic to think that the casino doesn't have an outsized effect on the outcome of the sporting event. So I think that the NFL has its finger on the scale a little bit, and it's been that way for a long time.
It's interesting. Doug, thanks. Mark, I don't know what you think about this, because there are so many billions of dollars being printed by the NFL. I have a hard time believing. This is why I would never believe in a conspiracy theory. They're out there printing money, right? And you could say, well, they're that greedy. Even if I bought that the Chiefs being in the Super Bowl meant in some way, shape, or form more millions of dollars for the NFL than Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, even if I bought that, to understand what a bad bet that would be, in other words, give me a number. Does it mean $50 million more dollars for the NFL? All right, so you're the NFL. You're going to make a $50 million wager that this wide-ranging conspiracy is never going to get out, because if it gets out, your league is now a cloud. Like, it's over. It's over. You would not recover from that. That's why I've never been able to believe it. Like, I just cannot see that the league would have an actual stated or written or directed conspiracy going on, because it's too risky.
Yeah, there could be, like, lower-level conspiracies going on. Like, you could think of Tim Donaghy in the NBA, which was more so just between a couple of refs that were fixing games, or at least aspects of games. But then you got to ask the officials in games, what's in it for them to see the Chiefs go far all the time?
Right.
And I don't know. Like, what was in it for Tim Donaghy was leading, pushing bets one way versus
right,
the other.
Right, but he's getting, like, I see that as at least likely being something outside of the league.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, so I'm with you there. And if that was what it was, if it was a conspiracy that didn't involve, like, the decision makers in the league and it was just the officials, there isn't a necessary, like, reason why your missed calls would always favor one team over another, because you can create an unfair wager or give yourself an advantage by picking any side of any game. Like,
correct.
You just call the game that way,
right,
based on whichever side you want to see win.
That's what I mean. Like, do you understand the number of people that you would all have to get on the same page and paid in such a way so that nobody would ever go do some sort of an expose on a talk show?
Yeah.
They would never do that. Like Donaghy eventually did. They would never do that. To understand how expensive that would be, to understand the NFL would be handing their entire brand over somebody named Tim. Don't blow the whistle, Tim, with all the proof that you clearly have. And what would stop Tim from being like, hey, yeah, Roger, give me $1 billion.
Like, think of it. You watch The Sopranos or any mafia movie or whatever, and you know they got to go tie up loose ends, right? Make sure nobody talks. Like, there's one loose end. There's two loose ends. That's terrible. In this scenario, there would be hundreds, if not thousands of loose ends.
Exactly. So it's funny because I can sit here and I understand how this sort of sounds like maybe we're saying like two things out of two different sides of our mouths. It's like, I do not believe there's a conspiracy theory. I believe this to be more organic, but I am well past the idea of coincidence. Like, come on. It's every freaking single week. It's every week. And this isn't me and you. This is, I'm seeing this from people who played in the league, who are now analysts everywhere.
Yep.
John in Benicia. Hi, John. Thanks for calling. 888-957-9570, the number. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. You know what? I will say this. I can't stand the Chiefs. I do every single call. But, I mean, if this is a conspiracy, this has to be written by one of the worst ex-WWF writers in history. I mean, the thing is that you go back to the 80s. The Lakers needed the Celtics. The Celtics needed the Lakers. You know, you cannot have the same person win every single time. Because even the worst heels in wrestling, in order to make them popular, you have them lose, you have them turn face, and then everybody loves them. But now you've created this monster that's winning every time by, you know, questionable ways, and you're going to kill the product just because it's bad writing, if that's really what this is. So, you know, I don't know the answer, but, you know, something's got to give. But, I mean, maybe they just need a new writer in place of all of this.
Well, I think it's an interesting point, John. Thank you. Because, again, I don't buy that this is being a script. But since we're here and we're going this route, like, Michael Jordan's name has been brought up a few times today, right? And, again, you admitted, like, you weren't even really, you were not even alive for this, or you're in diapers or whatever. But I can tell you this, like, especially with the Air Jordan shoe brand and the fact that it is still so insanely popular all the way through this day, Patrick Mahomes is not beloved like Michael Jordan was.
No.
So if you were going to make a character and be like, we're just going to take him to goathood, you would not pick Patrick Mahomes. You wouldn't do that. People are not into Patrick like that. He plays in Kansas City. He is the ninth highest paid quarterback. He doesn't have a shoe. He doesn't like. Why Patrick? Lamar Jackson is way more marketable. Way more. Because he's got a more eye popping skill set than Patrick Mahomes does. So that's another side to this that sometimes where I scratch my head and go, if the NFL were actually, or even just individual refs, if there was some love affair with Patrick Mahomes, why Patrick? Why did someone selected him to go to the Kansas City Chiefs and become the biggest thing ever? I don't even understand that.
I hear what you're saying. I think we also forget how amazing that team was when their run first began. And when Tyreek Hill was there and Travis Kelce was still at the peak of their powers and what they were doing offensively, Patrick Mahomes' numbers, like his first 2 years as a starter, absolutely absurd. I think we kind of forget how good that offense was, because the last like two or three years, they've kind of, and it's when they've won their Super Bowls, which is amazing, and one seed this year and going back to the Super Bowl again. I mean, we talked about it when it was Purdy versus Mahomes, Niners versus Chiefs in the regular season this year. Purdy, who had himself by far a worse year than he did last year, like lapping Mahomes statistically. Mahomes had a really bad year statistically.
Worse than
the
Purdy.
The offense has honestly been pretty ugly to watch for like 2 years now for the Chiefs. And they're still finding ways to win games. It's more of a credit to them than anything else. But I think we forget how eye-popping their offense was in the beginning of their run. Because they were the offense. They were the deep ball throwers. They were the 60-yard touchdowns every single week.
No doubt.
Tyreek running past everybody. Mahomes putting it on the money. That, at that point, I mean, that was bigger and better and more crazy than Lamar or any other quarterback.
No, I mean,
in
he's throwing the ball with his left hand. He's throwing no-look passes. He's got the strongest arm of all time. I get all that. And I remember all that. But again, I'm just like, how far does your theory go? Do you know what I mean? Like, why would you end up in Kansas City?
It's also not like he was picked, oh, we got this guy out of Texas Tech. He's going to be, he's, you know, he's the boy who lived, right? Randall, right. He's the guy we're selecting through no fault, like, through nothing that he's done. But, I mean, he came in and was amazing from the beginning. And if we're, like, going down this rabbit hole of how would a conspiracy even begin, it's like, we've got this young kid who's amazing, who's doing things we've never seen anybody do at his age. That's the guy.
Right.
After he's already established himself.
And that's part of why I don't buy any of this. You know, I don't buy any of this. Not like the story, he's right. Or like John's right. The story doesn't make any sense. Do you know what I mean? Like even let's take it to the Niners. You really think that the NFL, if they've got their hands all over script writers, Brock Purdy, 6 foot tall, from Arizona and Iowa, aw shucks, nobody can even fathom the idea that he'll ask for money because he looks like the kid that your son brought home as a friend and for snacks after school. Like that, like Brock Purdy, that's who we sent out there to challenge Mahomes. Like, no.
It's a pretty good story right there.
I mean, it's a great story, but it's... It doesn't make any, like, from a marketability sense, that makes no sense. That makes no sense. Brock Purdy, for as much as, you know, whatever it is, Toyota or whoever has their hands on him, he's not a terrible, like, that's not a marketing superstar. Marketability-wise, you'd rather have stayed with Jimmy Garoppolo or Trey Lance. These are good-looking, 6'3", Adonis-like dudes. And then he's bringing Brock Purdy, like, hi.
If we're talking about a story, though, that would win over the hearts of America.
I guess.
Brock Purdy's a pretty good story. Just get a script writer in there that gives the Niners a Super Bowl, NFL, please.
No, the answer is nobody. Nobody. We're just going to take turns losing to Patrick Mahomes, apparently. I don't think it's that. I think that there is something that is far less nefarious going on, but I can't watch it and think, yeah, this is normal. It's just the way it fell every single week. It just doesn't. It doesn't add up. So I'm not accusing the NFL of anything. I am accusing referees of being human beings. I am doing that. And there's a few things that I would love to see changed. I mean, and just over the last handful of weeks, this has really crystallized for me. And I said this about the NBA a few weeks ago. People who made the call should not be the ones reviewing the call, period. Their emotion is too involved in it, and they're going to lean automatically toward the, unless it's conclusive, I'm pretty sure I was right. No, you're out.
And the rule book is already leaning that way anyway.
That's right. We're sending this to a different set of eyeballs, different set of ears to make that decision. I also think this slide at the last minute at the legs of a defensive player that's running full speed to get a personal foul, that's a penalty now. That's a penalty on you, Patrick. We're going backward 15 yards now because you did that. And if you're found to do what he did in the first playoff game where he stepped out of bounds and then flung himself all the way to the bench without being touched, that's a reviewable play. That's a penalty. 15 yards backwards from the original line of scrimmage. Those are a few of the things I would start enacting right away. Some of this, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do about officials getting caught up in the moment, in the story, and in the home cooking. That's the most frustrating part.
There's another play yesterday, not in the Chiefs game, but in the Eagles-Commanders game, where Saquon's along the sideline, and just as he's stepping out of bounds after a run, gets hit and goes flying, and it was called a penalty. And this was when the game was still, like, in the air, like, up for grabs. It wasn't over. Like, it was, what was the final score, 55-23 or whatever it was? A dominant win. The game was still up for grabs, and Saquon's about to go out of bounds, and he takes a hit, and it's a 15-yard penalty against the Commanders. So, yep. Like, what is the defense supposed to do in that situation? That's not on Saquon.
No.
That's not on him for flopping. It was not a flop. He got hit. But is the defensive back supposed to just let the star running back get a few extra yards along the sideline in an NFC championship game?
Absolutely not, but they don't have a choice.
Yeah.
And I do think, now, I don't know if this helps or not, but according to sources, Adam Schefter says help is on the way. And I thought this was interesting in and of itself, the way this was worded, coming from Adam Schefter, like the biggest NFL reporter in the game,
yep.
right? And does not represent the NFL. He represents ESPN. And he tweeted, let's see, January 26th. So this is Sunday morning, prior to the game starting.
Okay. Yesterday, yeah.
Oh, actually, the first tweet, it was two tweets. The first one came on Saturday night.
Hmm.
For all those complaining that Patrick Mahomes gets too many calls, relief soon could be on the way.
Ooh.
NFL replay assist is expected to expand this offseason into plays that could include the quarterback slide. Now, for those of you who don't know what replay assist is, that is something that was established within the last season or two, where basically another set of eyes in the sky can kind of whisper down to the referees in the middle of the play or the middle of the call. Like, for instance, if they say interception and someone upstairs is like, that ball bounced, like clear as day, they can whisper it to the ref and be like, that is 100% an incomplete pass.
Essentially expedited review.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So fascinating to me that Schefter would say for, it was almost like he legitimized it. If you're complaining about Patrick, help is on the way.
According to sources.
It almost read like, if you think Patrick gets too many calls, the league agrees with you.
And he provided the stats, didn't he, too?
He sure did. So that was the one that came Sunday morning. He writes, penalties during the Chiefs' 8-game playoff win streak, is nauseating enough to say out loud. He writes, roughing the passer calls, Chiefs, 0. Opponents, 6. Unnecessary roughness calls, Chiefs, 1. Opponents, 4. And I kind of group those together because they're the same 15-yard personal foul flag.
Yeah.
That's 10-1. 10 on the opponents. And one time the Chiefs got called.
Yeah, it kind of feels like Schefter's picking a side there, and he normally doesn't do that.
It sure does.
Yeah.
It sure does. All right. We'll keep going on the calls. And 888-957-9570 if you want to weigh in on this. And oh, by the way, while you were sleeping and while we were getting mad at the Chiefs, the Niners have gone throughout the weekend and finalized all of the assistants they needed to hire. And a very, very big national voice had a lot to say about the hire that the 49ers made today. We'll have that for you next. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Grandy's in for dibs, Willard and Dibs.
Willard and Dibs.
There goes the two boys, the two great boys of the Bay Area, the best sports show on town.
On 95.7 The Game.
I try to tell everyone I see, we are the best show on town.
There goes the two boys.
But Grandy's here for one of the boys today, and we'll be all week, so we get to hang out and spread out a little bit, make some room. And by the way, you know what's coming up? You know what's coming up? 4 o'clock. That's what's coming up.
Okay, and?
And that means it is time for the third of what will be many knockout tournament qualifiers.
Otherwise known as my competition.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Grandy is the top boy on town when it comes to knockout tournaments. He is, in fact, worse than Mahomes. He is the only person who has ever won a 95-7 The Game knockout tournament.
Big time.
But until you repeat, we're not going to pretend like it's a full thing. We'll see.
Might be a conspiracy. Go talk to the big boss.
Knockout tournament is coming up later in the month of February. You get to come be in the tournament, play hoops on the Chase Center floor. Yes, you get to warm up there. Hit a free throw, hit a three, look around, look at Steph's building for a little bit. You get to do all of that with us, and it's super easy. Every day this week, next week, and the week after, every day, we've got three qualifiers to give out. And so one will happen on every show, 8 a.m. hour, noon hour, and then the 4 p.m. hour, which is coming up like a damn freight train. So we'll give you a keyword, then we'll tell you what to do with the keyword. I love the way that's written. We're going to tell you what you could do with the damn keyword, all right? But we're going to give that to you just after 4 o'clock. So right now, all you need to know is be here in 9 minutes.
And if you're already here, just stay here.
Yeah, like, I mean don't do that, because then, you know, you could get distracted.
Yes, and make sure, you know, you're fully up to date. You're not behind. If you're on the Odyssey app, you can use the rewind feature, but you want to be live so you know exactly when we're calling for what we're calling for.
That's a good thing to point out.
Get all your ducks in a row, you know?
That's right. Yeah, so in other words, to get the keyword, absolutely, whether that's app, it's YouTube, whatever, but at a certain point, there's going to be a cue to call, and so you're going to want to be as live as possible on this one so you can come take down Mark Graham.
I don't know about that part, but everything else is right.
Hey. So I went online and looked at you. You look great.
Appreciate you, Kurt. So it was Friday night in the Bay. The Old Ship Saloon had a rowdy group in the corner that started flowing with appetizers and cocktails. And it was at that point only that we firmly got the absolute confirmation that Bob Sala was back to be the defensive coordinator of the San Francisco 49ers, right? Well, today there's also the name Brant Boyer. And I would imagine most of you went, who?
Who is that?
And it's funny, because there's 2 points to be made here. One of them is, this is kind of what I mean about getting mad when an assistant gets hired. Because I think it's hilarious that everyone acts like they know who the hell these people even are. So this was the whole debate we got into last week with regard to, why am I blanking on my man's name? Who coached Brandon Staley. Like, don't act like you suddenly, oh, don't hire Brandon Staley because he does this quirk with, it's like, you don't know. The defense may go great next year. I wasn't saying I wanted Brandon over Robert Sala. I was simply saying an assistant is just a name until we see the games. And I feel the same way on this one. However, apparently around the league, this is being treated as like a really good pickup by the 49ers. He is their new special teams coordinator, Brant Boyer. And I don't know if I've ever heard the Pat McAfee show make a thing about a football team hiring someone to coach the special teams. Have you?
No. Usually you don't even know the name of your special teams coordinator on the team you root for.
That'd be a fun game. Like
we knew Brian Schneider. I think a lot of Niner fans knew him just because he was so bad.
Right, because it wasn't going well. It's just like your right guard. You're not talking about him unless he holds somebody.
Yeah.
But Pat McAfee started doing a segment on the Niners special teams coordinator.
Brant Boyer.
Yeah, they did.
Wow.
San Fran?
San Fran.
Holy.
Our guy.
This guy's a beast. He was at the Jets, and I think even the Jets fans would say there was a lot that went wrong with our team. Our special teams was great. Blocking kicks, taking kicks to the house, throwbacks, you name it. Boyer's a dog. He played in the NFL 13 years as a teamer, I believe, back whenever it was CTE era.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's wedge buster, this guy, as a teamer. Absolute beast. Stud. Great coach. Players love him because he was a player and he has that mentality, but he's obviously very good at his gig. So you got Shanahan, Sala, and Boyer. That is a great setup for the Niners to bounce back.
I mean, have you ever heard like somebody announces their special teams coach and someone goes, holy bleep!
And it was like a universal agreement for every, like A.J. Hawk there, another former player, and a couple of others on the show. They're like, oh my God, this guy's great.
Everybody started making sound effects. Listen to this.
Brant Boyer.
Yeah, they did.
Wow.
San Fran?
San Fran.
Holy.
Our guy.
This guy's a beast. He's at the Jets.
Turn it off, Lucas. Yeah, like, people, like.
Wow. Holy bleep. Our guy. You had three different people with, like, a positive, immediate reaction. And that wasn't a scripted thing. Someone off to the side, a producer or whoever, was like, hey, yeah, Brent Boyer hired by the Niners. And everyone's like, oh, my God, who? What are they? Whoa.
Nobody has ever needed to censor the reaction to a special teams coordinator before in the history of media. That's a first. But here we are. So, anyway, sure, I'll bite. You know, sounds like the Niners got some good people and the narrative that's being built. And we'll see, you know, because that's how I take any coaching hire. We'll see. Like, let's watch the games. But the narrative that's being built is you have experience and know-how and familiarity now running the defense and the special teams, which will allow Kyle Shanahan to have to check in on those things less and focus 100% of the time on figuring out how to convert on 4th and 2.
Please, for the love of God, go for it on 4th down more often.
People may not know this. Mark Grandy is addicted to 4th down.
Every 4th down conversion, no, not even conversions. Every decision that coaches make in these playoffs to go for 4th down, I send out a tweet like, I love Ron Rivera, or I love whoever made the decision. Great to see that the NFL is finally starting to head in that direction.
Does that carry over to going for 2? Do you feel that way as well?
It's a little, it depends on the situation. I feel like oftentimes early in games, teams are so busy on chasing an extra point here and there, mm-hmm, when you can just kick the extra point and who knows how the rest of the game's going to turn out.
Bills went 0 for 2 yesterday.
Yep.
And in fact, took one extra point off the board.
Yeah.
So that they could go
after
for
a penalty
and not get it.
Yeah. I don't feel super strongly about that, but I feel very strongly. If it's like 4th and 4 or less, and you feel like you've got a pretty good quarterback and a good offense, and obviously game time and score, it could be a super obvious,
like,
decision
field
to punt.
Position.
Or to,
yeah,
you're late in the game. You're already up 2 scores. You're deep in your own territory. Of course, you're punting. Like, you're not going to give a team an easy opportunity to immediately score and tie the game up,
right,
or whatever the case is. But, like, generally speaking, like the Commanders yesterday on their first drive of the game, it was what, a 17 or 18 play drive. They committed, or they went for it on 4th down. Twice on that drive, and they got both of them with a rookie quarterback in Philadelphia on the NFC Championship game. And they,
yes,
were both like, one of them was a 4th and 5, one was like a 4th and 3. They got them both easy. Like, no, not even,
right,
challenged.
Right, but then what happened?
And then they had another 4th and short in gimme field goal range, and they decided to take the points,
well,
which didn't really make sense to me because
you went for it twice earlier. Right, but here's what I get. Maybe because you went for it when it was still, like, say, a 50-yard field goal.
Missable, for sure.
Which is very missable, especially in January in Philadelphia. But I also think that once you get to 17 plays, kind of demoralizing to potentially not get anything. So maybe,
true,
he felt like I'd tried my luck enough. Now here, I don't even argue this point too much because Grandy and I do argue about 4th down sometimes. Here's where I think your point actually gets a nod in the other direction, which is that the Washington Commanders took the ball for what felt like a half hour.
Yep.
They plod all the way down the field, and in the end, they settle for 3.
And then the first play.
And then
play.
The Eagles got the ball, gone. You're down 4 points.
60-yard touchdown run, first
one
play from scrimmage.
Yep. One play. And it was the start of the floodgates, you know? I mean, I don't really know that there was a scenario where the Commanders were going to win that game yesterday based on the way it played out. They flat out could not stop the Eagles from doing whatever they wanted to offensively.
Yeah.
And then they add in the turnovers, and you're dead. Like I get it. 7 beats 3. I get it. But 3 beats 0, that I know too.
Yeah, I also think it's dependent as well on the situation, who you are, who you're playing. Like, for example, if I am Sean McDermott and the Bills going into Arrowhead last night, knowing our history, we have played them in the playoffs over and over and over again, and